Off the Ball Breakfast.
And he said what he's realised this summer is that he just wants to be loved. And if he feels the love, he will give it back to you in return on the pitch.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Sunday Paper Review
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by Visit Pennsylvania, your next must-visit destination in 2026.
It's Sunday. You're very welcome along to the Sunday Paper Review. Adrian with you today. Delighted to say I'm joined in studio by the sports writers Kieran Cunningham and Liam Foley. You're very welcome, folks.
Thanks, Adrian.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. I was really excited about doing this up until about minute one of at a time last night.
And
my enthusiasm went. It didn't in the slightest. But we'll get into all of that good stuff as we go through the papers. I'll let people know what's happening across the back pages. To begin with, we'll start with the Sunday Independent heartbreak in Lisbon. It's Ronaldo. Cuevan Keller, I've seen he was described as doing a Shane Lowry celebration, which it's now become just behind Cristiano Ronaldo after the penalty miss. But of course, events were to overtake us after that. Writes Sean O'Connor, cruel twist for brave Ireland as Portugal snatch late victory. The Sunday Times also go with heartbreak. Ireland sunk by late goal after a defiant display in Lisbon. Hal Grimson, it's painful when we worked so hard. And plenty more inside as well there. A lot of rugby pieces. Late blow is what the Mail on Sunday have gone for today. Dogged defensive display undone by Nevis header. And the details inside from Shane McGrath. Time for Farrell to expand horizons is the other piece that it teases to. Within the Sunday World, Heaven and Kell. Stunning Keller, a penalty save comes to nothing as Nevis steals victory. And no can-do for Konate at Anfield. Liverpool will look to sell misfiring defender Ibrahima Konate in the January transfer window if he fails to sign a new contract in the next few weeks, which I felt was an interesting spin on Ibrahima Konate wants to leave Liverpool to join Real Madrid at the soonest possible opportunity. It was the last I understood of all that. We shall see. The Sun, Neves say no. I think a take on the old Republic of Ireland tune. Late ribbon goal is sucker punch. Portugal 1, Ireland 0, writes Neil O'Riordan inside. The Mirror, Lisbon Dent, late Neves winner, goating for Ireland after Kelleher saves Ronaldo penalty, writes Paul O'Hare inside. It's war on the top from Jeremy Cross. Manchester United plotting a shock £60 million raid on Crystal Palace for the England star Adam Wharton, which is also what they go with in the People. Gimme war, Amarim target £60 million Palace Dynamo. And other bits and bobs inside as well. So that's where we're at. That's what's happening across the back pages there, your guests. And a reminder that the Sunday Paper Review on Off the Ball brought to you by Visit Pennsylvania, the home of incredible sport and scenery, your next must visit destination in 2026. Now, Lisbon should also be on your list there somewhere along the line. But I'm just interested, we might kick off with your overall impressions of the game. Like, we've seen it described on the TV and across the papers this morning. Sucker blow, redemption, barely deserved win were a lot of the things that we'd seen here. So, obviously, loads right in terms of performance and spirit and passion and all of that sort of stuff. But, like, probably not unreasonable to say it was a fair enough result on the night. Is that controversial?
Well, I do think it was harsh. Like, the great thing about football, soccer, as I'd always call it, is that you can play defensively and play magnificently defensively and set yourself up defensively and get a result. And the way that they played, and just like you'd watch, you know, the Armenian game, you watch them, you say, why are they not doing basic things right? They did all the basic things right last night. Mm. Coleman's reintroduction and his influence in the game was sensational. Kelleher, yet again, was brilliant. So it was just a real sucker punch and the save. I was laughing. Paul Rowan, I think his front page piece on in the Sunday Times described it as an excellent save, but inside in his other piece, it's miraculous and it's one of the greatest penalty saves I've ever seen. I don't care if it was an accident.
I was trying to look back in it today just to see what the quality of the taken penalty was, and it was excellent.
It was brilliant. It was
90 degree central. It probably was lacking a little bit of height, and the height would have got him over the leg.
Yeah, but it had unbelievable power as well, too.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a penalty.
Yeah,
it was
and
an
we'll see,
save.
When you see, as a goalkeeper, when you've dived, and you react
speaking,
after you die. I used to play goalkeeper, even though very small. But he reacted after he died to what had happened, and he moved his leg to kick it away, which is so hard. Like, it shows his reflexes. But we saw that when Ronaldo hit
in the first
the
one
post,
and
when he hit
his
the woodwork,
head.
And the ball came back. The replay actually doesn't do it justice because it's slow motion. You think he's had time to, but if you see it in real time, it came up so quick and it was he ducked to stop the own goal. Like his reflexes are unreal. And he's one of the only goalkeepers I've ever watched that when he's facing a penalty, I expect him to save.
Yeah,
like his track record, I think his last three penalties are Bruno Fernandes, Mbappe and Ronaldo he saved from. Like we've seen it, what he did in penalty shootouts when he was at Liverpool. But it is worrying that over the three games, he's by a mile Ireland's best player.
Yeah.
By a mile. And he will get, I presume he'll get Ireland's player of the year. Now, if you go across all the pieces, they're a little bit too kind to Ireland because of the nature of the... You have to file on the whistle. This would have been painted up till 5 minutes ago, everybody going brave, defiant, rear guard action, brilliant point to get against a great reaction to what had happened in Yerevan. But, you know, it comes down to it that still, as in Yerevan, they headed for home with nothing. The 1 point from three games. And I keep going back to something. I think this is very important. After Ireland lost to Greece last year, Glenn Whelan was in Virgin Media, and I don't know if you remember what he said, but it was very striking what he said, because he'd been part of the backroom team with John O'Shea and he'd worked with these players, and he said, it's not easy, me as a fan watching that, I'm just a little bit worried, does it really hurt the lads as much as it's hurting me? I think there's certain individuals just too easy to bat it off. You can go onto social media and onto the next one and hashtag this and that, whatever you want to do, but show us in the pitch, show us in the grass that it hurts. There are too many players playing for Ireland who are too used to losing games. Something needs to change. And just had a quick look, you know, at this, at some of the players, like Nathan Collins, the captain, he's won just 11 games, 33 out of 33. Josh Cullen is a mainstay in midfield, won 14 out of 45. Adam Eadas, 35 caps, won just 8 times. Evan Ferguson will be 21 next Sunday, still very young, but he's 25 caps. He's only won 8 times, and 2 of those were against Gibraltar. And I think what you saw last night was a reactive performance, and we've seen those from Ireland before. I think backing it up was the thing now. Like they went out last night with a block, 5 at the back and another low block, you know, 2 very low blocks. Mm. And they went out to try and suffocate them. Portugal at 30 shots, only 6 on target, plus hitting the woodwork. Ireland had 2 shots, neither on target. So it was clear what the game plan was. When they did, the occasions they did get the ball, they just hoofed it long, bypassed midfield completely.
And very effectively so.
Indeed. But the other thing, I think you could tell from the atmosphere, even on TV, you could hear the Irish fans.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
But that showed
out
me...
to them.
Portugal were off it. And their fans were very quiet. And that's because it didn't matter as much to Portugal. Like, Portugal point would have been fine. Like, they won 2 games. They know they're going to qualify. For Ireland, this was completely backs to the wall. And it's all about now, not just Armenia, because you expected to beat Armenia at home. It was about next month having some consistency. Because there hasn't been consistency with Ireland for 10 years, since 2016. 9 years, you know, the guts of a decade. And we have seen, like we saw it under Stephen Kenny, that Ireland went to Faro and were leading with 2 minutes to go and lost 2-1. We have seen big Ireland performances against the odds, but they haven't been backed up. And last night was, I think, a reaction to a performance that really stung them. But they have to show it hurts as much as Glenn Whelan wants them to hurt.
Mm. Mick Foley's piece is the one piece that does... It's not all, flowers and all the rest. Horrible case of deja vu in an agonising conclusion is the headline. But he does say, but for everything redemptive about Ireland's efforts, their familiar weaknesses made it almost impossible for them to move beyond heroic rearguard action. And that's the truth of it. The awful poverty of their play in midfield and complete inability to hold the ball for any length of time meant their hard work in defence was usually rewarded by more hard work in defence. Evan Ferguson, he says, you know, if somebody gave him a 5, literally because he wasn't on the ball, his obligations as a lone striker were reminiscent of many other Irish players from history, expected to hold the ball up, hunt defenders and chase lost causes with little enough material return. But he didn't tick many of those boxes, and I think he's right. Yeah. You know, Ferguson really, the game bypassed him totally. And even though he was up there as a lone striker, I thought he could have got more involved.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the most, you know, the piece that's most critical. Now, what he says is, and I, you know, I sometimes wonder about it, but he was saying, where does it leave more or less the same as when they went there? I disagree. I think they at least have restored some confidence in themselves because they must have been... like the slagging floor. They got after Yerevan, you know, they must have been on the floor.
I think there's a romantic side to it, right? And on the romance side, we all feel life is a little bit better this morning. And then there's the factual side to it, where Portugal had 30 shots, and we shouldn't be saying that it's a sucker blow when they had 30 shots. I know that number.
And they were without Cancelo and Neves as well. Like, they were missing people as well, too. Like, Portugal weren't good last night.
My point being that, like, you know, on the reality side, it wasn't a great shock that Portugal won the game in the end. Like, they were battering us, albeit not all as all that successfully. Neil O'Riordan in The Sun, I think, sums it up quite well. He says, sometimes things just do not pan out as planned because fate had a different outcome in mind for you. That and the fact that it's never a good idea to leave a player with a free header in injury.
Yeah. And actually, one or two people just said, you could even say Kelleher came just like a split second too late for that, you know.
The other thing is, it has to be pointed out that Seamus Coleman, it was said afterwards,
Seamus
had taken off for 5 minutes, but it was said that Hal Grimson had said to him, he said to Hal Grimson, "No, I feel strong." You know, even though he's hardly played this season, and he was taken off, and there, you know, would he have closed down the cross? Because given how well he'd been played today, we don't know. But it's one of those decisions that you would look back on.
It was about 5 minutes.
Did you notice the pass up on the right wing?
Coleman put his hands up to gesture. I think it might have been called out in commentary to gesture that he wanted to be taken off. Hal Grimson was asked about it afterwards, and he said that Coleman was saying, "Get me off the pitch." So I don't think there was any sense that he should have been left on the pitch. I think there was a point about possibly should they have stuck with the three that they had.
Rather than changing them around.
Egan came on. Should they put Egan back out?
Didi Hamann was saying he thought Coleman should have stayed on. But the one thing, he made a pass just before that on the right wing, and it was the only mistake he made in the game. He just didn't hit his man. He gave the ball away. He looked really exhausted.
Right, there's something across, across the different reports on the game. And it mentioned, you know, this is a World Cup qualifying campaign unlike any we've ever had before because it's so condensed. There's three international windows in the space of two months. And for the first international window, Hal Grimson in a large squad didn't pick Seamus Coleman, Festi Ebbelesi and Darragh O'Shea. And he picked all three on the team last night. So that doesn't show much. That's reactive as well. Like that doesn't show. It doesn't reassure you that there's a conviction what the manager is doing.
Or does it show that he play devil's advocate here? But does it show that he realised he had made a mistake and rather than let ego win out?
Well, I thought it was really interesting. Like he said before and after the game last night, when Coleman makes the person he's playing beside better. You know what I mean?
I think
the defence was such
Coleman
a disaster the last time.
For now until the end of him hanging up his boots, last night was evidence that as long as Seamus Coleman has the ability to walk and put the boots on him, get him in a squad.
Yeah,
but it was the nature of that game as well, I think, to be honest, because, you know, it was five at the back with effectively five straight in front of him.
Tight.
Yeah, it was very tight. Yeah. You know, in a more open game, he could be in big, you know, he was 37 yesterday, and he's not playing club football.
Yeah.
So those things would go against him in a lot of games.
See him a couple of times in the first half where, like, we constantly give out about the midfield, and there was reason maybe to do it again last night, although not as exposed, given, like you mentioned, about the two low blocks. But you could see him several times in possession of the ball, or not in possession of the ball, gesturing for the midfield to come to him to get involved.
Yeah.
Like, it often feels like maybe that's, you know, I mean, just from that point alone, having somebody there to say...
Arm, and there should always be in the squad, because it's a squad that really needs leadership, because there's highlighting some of the stats there, they're really... all these players are accustomed to losing. You know, they need somebody to give them a bit of confidence. And even though Coleman has lost a lot of games himself, he is full of self-belief, and he is a very driven character. And you talk to, like, the people who are very critical, like Roy Keane, loves him. You know, people who've worked with him. I've never come across anyone who's worked with him
Frank
that
Lampard,
doesn't. They all rave about him, yeah.
Yeah. I was sat, by the way, you talk about the quality of the penalty. I was sat about 50 yards away from the Bruno Fernandes save a few weeks ago. There was complicating factors there. Keith Andrews had conspired to delay the clock for about 5 minutes with his substitutions. But He is he's some buck. We do a good line in saving Ronaldo penalties, it turns out.
Yeah. And, oh, it's just unbelievable watching that game and thinking, this is exactly like that game in 2021 where they played so well for so long. And you did have that fear, oh, just one, you know, and they had such, I mean, Portugal had that first chance, you know, within minutes the game could have been finished. You know.
But it's funny that the longer the game went on, I thought Portugal are going to win this with a stupid penalty. And it looked that way, but... Like it should be Hyland as well. That was one of the dumbest penalty decisions I've ever seen.
Were we lacking a clear angle on it? Was that, were we lacking that angle that was sort of square on to where, I couldn't tell, to be honest, I couldn't tell conclusively.
Yeah, but somebody else was making the point, and fairly this morning, that if we had got that penalty, we wouldn't have been, nobody would be getting upset about it, about it. Like, his hand was up and he was moving forward. And it's always the thing that interests me now, if you look at the goal, you see one of the Irish defenders with his hands, remember, moving towards with the hands behind the back. They just have to be so careful nowadays.
Yeah, well, particularly, like, I know games are refereed differently in Europe and at an international level than the Premier League, which we watch so often, that handballs are given far easier at those levels than you see at other levels that we watch.
Where are you on the... Geez, that referee was really annoying scale.
Yeah, very high in it. And I don't often get annoyed by referees, but I just thought he had Ronaldo in his ear. He was making, you know, he gave us yellow cards and didn't seem to give them on the other side for something almost identical. I just didn't think he was good. I thought the one thing they do, somebody has it, Paul Rowan has it, and he does quote Halgrimsson, the referee gave them too much respect with some decisions. And 6 or 7. I didn't know where the 7 minutes of extra time came from either.
I thought that was fair. If you're going to...
They did a lot of time wasting.
If you're
going to
book the goalkeeper for time wasting, like 20 minutes. But 20 minutes before the end of the game, Kelleher was getting a yellow card for time wasting.
And then, there was a couple of minutes are wasted around the penalty as well.
Yeah.
So I think 7 was... And they didn't need the 7. Like, what did when the goal came on the 94th?
Oh, it was on the 90th, I think.
So
we needed the 7, as it turned out.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, Jesus, thank God he had it on.
But it's funny, like, Ronaldo had an off night, like, missed the penalty, hit the woodwork, and he missed a couple other chances. But I was just looking at this, since Halgrimsson's first game, which doesn't seem that long ago, like, it's, what, 13 months ago, he scored 11 goals for Portugal at 40 years. Mm. 11 goals. And he, that would put him just outside the top 10 of Ireland's all-time goal scorers. But he's got over 140 international goals.
No.
Like, there's people at club-level strikers who finish with 140 goals and think they've done well. He scored that for Portugal.
I was thinking, context is everything, and we'll come on to it. But like Martin Samuel has a piece today, and the headline is "Fans Loathe Dull International Breaks." I'm thinking, we don't do dull international breaks.
Just on Ronaldo, Shane McGrath in the Mail today. He was less the billionaire Galactico in these moments than Mr. Picklepants, the hammy-hedged hog from the Toy Story movies. His shtick after the penalty miss was ridiculous. Blessing himself, shaking his head, talking to himself while his teammates presumably muttered under their breaths and saved their real feelings for the WhatsApp group that he doesn't know about, which I think can give us all a little bit of sucker this morning. He'd drive you mad. I think between that and the referee seemed to be visibly getting, you know, why are you not listening to me? Moved towards the Irish players. Listen, I think when Ronaldo's involved, we can extend ourselves. And it's not, you know, we have seen evidence of it before. You know, people often reference the referee looking for Ronaldo's jersey.
It was all over Twitter last night.
That can appear a bit of times.
There was one moment late on when Ireland had a rare attack and it broke down, and Portugal had a lightning fast counterattack with one of the substitutes that came on. I can't remember who, but they were pouring forward at pace, and you saw Ronaldo, the shot on your right, and he was just standing there.
Yeah.
Like, he plays walking football, which is hilarious. Like, he doesn't move.
But
like,
even the way he runs, I'd say it's a deliberate running style now. It's almost like a Kenyan running style, an athlete, where he actually,
he's not too bad when it comes to retrieving the ball to put it back for Cooey.
But he's got this little small step style that he's developed to actually save energy. I'd say he's worked on it. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And working on a spring. Like, put so much into getting up for headers now.
Yeah, he's just a very dislikable character for a lot of different reasons. But
yeah,
that notwithstanding, elsewhere in Shane McGrath's piece, like, the existential conversation. Of course, this could change the conversation around the future of the manager. But this was a team and a display that didn't consider anything beyond the 90 minutes. Does it change the?
I didn't think so. That line jumped out at me. I think I think last night, when people calmed down a bit, like at the final whistle, you're saying, okay, we're in a better place, but in the cold light of day, you're looking at and you're still basically where you were beforehand. Before the, I do think it's a reactive performance. I think it's reactive in terms of selection, tactics, everything, and it does remain to be seen. Like you do, it's very likely you'll need to go to Budapest and win, and. I can't see that. Honestly can't see that.
I have many character flaws. One of them is getting way too positive about the report.
But how has the last decade not beaten that area? But Didi's been in Flannery's too much. She's more Irish than the Irish themselves.
Few comments coming in. JC Ferguson, zero blame. Ireland set up for a point and offered nothing going forward. They get absolutely battered. The Francie Brady says, Ireland, despite the effort, lacks quality. We're awful. I'm not sure a different manager could do much more. The Carpet Man, it didn't hit his hand. It was square in the chest, and that's what VAR is for.
Yeah, there is a lot of the discussion here and in the papers, is that Ireland were hard done by, deserve more. But if you do flip it, and Ireland were playing a team significantly below them, like we're Ireland is so far below Portugal's level, and Ireland had 30 shots against 2 and missed a penalty and hit the post and won it with a late goal, you'd be saying that was no more than we deserved, that Ireland were much the better team.
And also, what struck me too was the only time a defender didn't get to a ball, they scored. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the difference in class, really. I don't think you can change the conversation about the manager until the end of the qualification period and you see exactly what's happened. So he will be judged, but he'll be judged as well on his team selections his substitutions over the next 2 games.
I think you can discuss it because the fact that they were discussing a new contract with him before the qualifiers had started, which was nuts.
I never understand that. Yeah. I don't understand that.
What did he prove
to
justify that,
Yeah. So, the full stop on it, Caoimhín Kelleher is a very good goalkeeper. Seamus Coleman should always be involved in the squad.
Yes.
The manager, we'll give him at least until next week and sort of see where we're at. And other than that...
No, next month, I think beating Armenia will prove nothing.
You are saying beating Armenia.
And
That's where my caveat comes in.
Now, they'll beat Armenia at home.
Yeah,
they will beat Armenia.
And kudos to those Irish fans last night because they never stopped and they kept it going. And also probably Nathan Collins... And he seems to me to be the kind of guy who doesn't need it. But the hammering he took after the last game and the way he put himself together last night as well.
Well, he's a very good footballer.
Confidence. Well, he is, but his confidence, just think. And confidence, is so vital. It's just so vital in making good decisions in sport,
I've never felt so nervous about, as it clicked into 90 minutes about or the excitement around protecting a 0-0 lead, a point in a game that will ultimately, probably, most likely... prove absolutely pointless one way or the other. It was, but listen,
I was tweeting, could we get Caoimhín Kelleher on the presidential ballot as that goal went in? That's how fast it seemed to happen.
Is there any blame for the goalkeepers union, any blame to go around for Kelleher in that goal?
I don't think so. No, he did what he should do, which is try and cut
ball.
It out. But balls come in so quickly.
And the quality of that ball was so good as well. Yeah. And the quality of their crossing all night, even though they didn't play well, but the quality of their crossing and some of their attack was brilliant. So,
GK says, Ferguson better start producing something ASAP or he'll become another Aaron Connolly. That's harsh.
That is harsh.
I don't mean that Aaron Connolly's a bad footballer. I just mean give him a break. Kevin, Armenia on the break will be very dangerous on Tuesday. I mean, I think that's where we're at, Kevin. It's not an unreasonable point. So we leave the football there. If you've any more that you want to get into, do shoot your questions across. We're here with Lena Foley and Kieran Cunningham and we're getting through the sports pages today. So if you've any more that you want us to loop back on, before we leave you in a little bit, do feel free to send those in to us.
The Sunday Paper Review.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Visit Pennsylvania, your next must-visit destination in 2026.